Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
In the meantime, UFC 229 is McGregor against Khabib at 155. This Saturday, the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. We're joined by Mark Raimondi on the line, Deputy Managing Editor of MMA Fighting. Thanks for being with us, Mark.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, great to have you with us. Good. I guess an extra bit of energy in the air when there's a Conor McGregor fight on, for you particularly.
It's never dull when Conor McGregor is around the UFC world, that is for sure.
What have you made of the build-up? McGregor, it seems in some respects, is a touch burnt out with media commitments. He has certainly not done all that much. It seems the UFC not thrilled that he hasn't been front and centre, but there's not much they can do about it. I mean, I suppose the last time we really saw him was the Mayweather tour, and that would burn out anybody, really, and it was pretty nasty. And also, I suppose, it would have stared him in the face that it had no real effect on Floyd Mayweather either. He has been noticeably low-key in this build-up.
He has, and I think that's sort of to be expected in a way, because I think this fight has already been sold in many ways, for better or worse, after the infamous bus incident that happened in April.
Yeah.
In many ways, this fight has already kind of been at the forefront of what the UFC has wanted to do, so it doesn't need a hard sell. But I will say, Fight Week is only just beginning now in Las Vegas. I'm here. Things kick off tomorrow with workouts, and there's a press conference on Thursday. Of course, there was a press conference 2 weeks ago in New York.
Yeah.
So I think that, but between now and Saturday, guys, I think there will be plenty of extra promotion and plenty of McGregor doing promoting. I think he's going on Conan O'Brien's show here in the States.
Okay.
So I think when all is said and done, when UFC 229 finally kicks off on Saturday, I think enough will have been sold.
Yeah, because I mean, I was thinking back to, wasn't it 2016, the Diaz fight, when it was cancelled effectively over McGregor not fulfilling his media obligations, and he had that pretty interesting Facebook post around the time where he was talking about 50 world tours, 200 press conferences, 1 million interviews, 2 million photo shoots, and at the end of it all, I'm left looking at his down the barrel of a lens, staring defeat in the face, thinking of nothing but my incorrect fighting preparation. And he talked about the grimness of sitting in a car on the way to some dump in Connecticut or somewhere to speak to Tim and Susie on the Nobody Gives a Bleep morning show. That did not get me this life. So I think even in 2016, he was a bit grimmed out by it. And the Mayweather thing was a circus. So I don't suspect we'll ever see him doing too much to sell any fight. I mean, I don't know what the stipulations are in his 8-fight deal.
Well, I mean, I think for anyone who reaches that status as not only UFC champion, but also, I mean, Conor McGregor is the biggest star in UFC history. So there is a constant demand for his time, for his quotes, his sound bites, et cetera, et cetera. So it must be a ton of pressure. And past UFC champions and past UFC huge stars like him, like a Ronda Rousey, had a hard time dealing with it, admittedly so.
Mm.
George St. Pierre had to vacate the UFC welterweight title, he felt, because there was too much pressure on him from the fight perspective, from the training perspective, and also the media perspective. It's just a constant barrage, and the UFC asks a lot of fighters. They ask a lot of Ronda Rousey. They're asking a lot of Conor McGregor. So personally, I don't mind, and I understand why he may want to dial it back a little bit.
Mm.
You can make the argument that Ronda Rousey did too much promotion, too much press, and it caused her to almost foul up her career, at least the trajectory of her career, heading into that, you know, that loss against Holly Holm.
There was a sense in the Jose Aldo fight that it actually was getting to Aldo. You know, it was quite a useful tool for McGregor. He was getting inside Aldo's head. He was making him angry, if nothing else. Khabib seems to be made of pretty tough stuff. Have you dealt with him much? Have you come across him much?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to Khabib many times over the course of many years, and he is a stoic individual. He's not a very emotional man. He kind of keeps very even keeled through all aspects of life, and he's very religious. He's a devout Muslim, and he's not a partier. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do any of that stuff. All the man does really is train, and he's a very serious guy, and he's not one to be shaken by trash talk, I don't believe. But with that being said, there's never been a situation that he's had to face like fighting Conor McGregor in Las Vegas in front of a massive crowd, in front of what could be the most buys for a pay-per-view in UFC history. So there will be inherently some pressure on him. Even trash talk aside, just the moment and the scope of what he's going to be dealing with on Saturday is not easy. It's not easy. I'm not saying he's going to crack, but it's certainly something that he has not experienced yet.
Yeah. He seemed to handle the press conference in New York pretty well. I mean, McGregor was going for him on various bits and pieces. I mean, it was as if McGregor had been briefed on the political situation after maybe his chat with Putin and, you know, who knows where, and he was definitely trying to throw some stuff Habib's way and didn't get much of a reaction, you'd have to say. Habib came through that very nicely.
Yeah, for sure. And McGregor did his research. You have to give him credit because he has made an effort in each one of his fights to find one or two things that may be a sensitive topic or kind of a scab to pick for his opponents. And in this case, there were some geopolitical issues and some religious issues that he brought up at that press conference, as you noted. And he took that photo with Vladimir Putin at the World Cup. And that was very much, I think, with an eye toward Nurmagomedov. Here's Conor McGregor taking a photo with the president, the leader of Russia, Nurmagomedov's country. Nurmagomedov was not in that skybox that day for the World Cup. Conor McGregor was. And I think that was everything that he does. If you look at his Instagram and if you listen to him in press conferences, nothing he says is without some kind of plan. He's very calculated when it comes to the pre-fight buildup and the mental warfare, almost as calculated as he is when he's in the octagon. Everything is very methodical, and the man is well-prepared. He does his research. It's really incredible how much he knows about these different topics. It's impressive to see the prep that goes into not just the training, but also the pre-fight buildup.
Yeah. I guess one of the other reasons this fight doesn't need much selling in the trash-talking department, or certainly as much as other ones maybe did, is that everybody recognizes this is just a legitimately, really, you know, brilliantly interesting fight. The clash of styles, McGregor away for two years, Habib is so brilliant himself, I think he's 26-0, and he's the reigning champion here. Like, this is the real deal. We're not being sold a pup here, and almost let the fight speak for itself is the legitimate attitude. So, fight starts. The shorthand version here is that McGregor doesn't want to go to ground. Habib is desperate to go to ground. What's going to happen? How do you see this thing going?
It's a tough call. I'm incredibly intrigued because it can go many ways. It really can. And the conventional wisdom says, like you said, Nurmagomedov is going to try to, at all costs, take the fight to the ground. He's going to shoot for takedowns just about immediately. And the conventional wisdom states that McGregor is going to try to knock him down, knock him out with that left hand early and often. And I guess it's whoever is able to impose that will. Both men know what is coming. There are no secrets here. Everyone knows what each is trying to do. And that is what makes this so intriguing, because how do you strategize? How do you neutralize the other's attacks and also make your attacks successful? And like you said, aside from all the drama from the bus incident, from the trash talk, this is legitimately one of the biggest and best fights in UFC history inside the octagon alone. It is the two best lightweights in the world, and it is for bragging rights, but it's also to reach the pinnacle of the sport as well. So it has everything going for it. It has the outside the cage stuff and the inside the cage stuff.
And again, appreciating your overarching point, which is we don't quite know what's going to happen here, not least because McGregor's been out of the ring for the octagon for 2 years. Are we expecting this thing to finish quickly one way or another? Like, is McGregor looking to end this early? And equally, if this goes to ground, will McGregor be able to live with Habib, like survive? Say Habib manages to get him down early. Is McGregor good enough down on the ground to survive for a round and kind of hold his own and cling on for the 5 minutes? Or is he in big, big trouble if this goes to ground?
Well, certainly he's good enough on the ground to survive, but the same way that Nurmagomedov has not faced a striker like Conor McGregor, McGregor has not faced a wrestler and a grappler like Habib Nurmagomedov, which is another thing that makes this fight so intriguing. They have not, neither one of them has faced someone as good in those respective aspects of the game as the other. And it could end early. It could end up being a McGregor knockout in the first round. It could end up being a Habib Nurmagomedov TKO via ground and pound or a submission in the first round. And it's so hard to judge. I saw I saw on the internet the other day that one of the prop bets for the fight is will it go to decision, and that's long odds. Most people don't believe it'll go to decision. It is like I forget what the exact number was, but it's one of the least statistical possibilities of the fight going to decision. McGregor by submission was the least probable of the odds, but decision does not seem likely in this fight. Doesn't mean it won't happen, but it does seem like one of them will finish inside the distance, at least statistically speaking.
Yeah, which adds just such an extra thrill to the whole thing. I mean, you will not be able to take your eyes off it, because it is hard to know. First couple of minutes, are they very coy around each other? You know, nobody wants to suffer the ignominy of an early knockout or submission early on, whatever you do. I mean, that would be incredibly damaging for McGregor. Habib doesn't want that either. But then who knows? Maybe they say, yeah, I'm going in there, let's do this.
Oh, certainly. It could be like that. I mean, we've seen McGregor knock out Jose Aldo in 13
seconds.
Sure,
yeah.
So there's literally anything can happen once they get in there. It could be a quick flash knockout. It could be a long five-round war of a decision like you saw with McGregor and Nate Diaz, where it was a back and forth, the ebb and flow of that fight, where McGregor was winning early, Diaz took over, McGregor came back to kind of seal it late. Something like that could happen too. And to me, that was a big fight for McGregor, because it showed that he could outlast some of those cardio issues in the middle point of those five-round fights. Of course, against Nurmagomedov, it'll be different, because it could be a grappling heavy fight rather than a striking heavy fight. All things that just, again, so many things to check off in the box that make this fight one of the most intriguing that we've ever seen in the sport.
In general terms, or certainly in Habib's terms, if he wants to bring someone to the ground, does he generally do that? So another way of putting it, is it conceivable that the McGregor plan will be, well, let's just avoid going to ground and we should be able to do that if we're smart here? Or does he have to realistically engage with the fact that he won't be able to stay on his feet for the whole fight? How possible is that against Habib?
I mean, I think in just about every single one of Habib's fights, if he wants to take you down, he will at some point take you down. He is relentless.
Okay.
Some of his fights, he doesn't go for takedowns. Like in that fight against Ally Aquinta, his last fight, that stayed standing for most of it, but I think he was trying to prove a point that he could stand up with a striker and outbox him. But I don't know if that'll be the case against McGregor. That's playing a very dangerous game if he were to stand for very long. I would imagine that he would be going for a takedown relatively soon. Also worth noting that when you have a wrestler as good as Nurmagomedov, his striking will be enhanced, because the idea will be in McGregor's head to stop the takedown right away. So.
Yeah.
So it actually makes Habib a better striker, because it'll be in McGregor's head that he's going to be shooting for a takedown.
It's true. Habib has those two options, where I think Habib is probably safe enough and not worrying about McGregor trying to take him down. So that is definitely something, which is in his corner. And so McGregor wins, McGregor loses. Where does he go next? He's got this 8-fight deal. Like, what's the short term, medium term for McGregor?
Yeah, I mean, whatever he wants. If he wins, he can do whatever he wants next. I mean, the world is literally his oyster. He can go back to boxing and fight Floyd Mayweather again, or fight Manny Pacquiao. The door is open for any of that. Paulie Malignaggi, if he wins, he can go on and defend the UFC lightweight title against either a Dustin Poirier or a Nate Diaz or a Tony Ferguson or Anthony Pettis. He can go to welterweight and try to challenge for that belt against Tyron Woodley. Maybe they'll open up a new division, the 165-pound division for him, and he can go for that belt. Jordan St. Pierre is there. He mentioned this week on ESPN that he liked the idea of fighting Anderson Silva. Anything is on the table, especially if he wins. If he loses, there'll be less on the table, but he'll still have many, many options. And I still think that down the road we're going to see, of course, McGregor versus Diaz 3. I think that makes too much sense.
Yeah.
The first two fights were 1 and 3 of the biggest pay-per-view draws in UFC history. So I can't imagine we won't see that third fight at some point.
And what kind of business is this Saturday's fight doing?
Huge business. I mean, it seems to be on track to be the highest-selling UFC pay-per-view of all time. It's hard to say how much that will be fulfilled. It's still early in the week. I usually have a better idea just looking at our own internal metrics at MMAfighting.com on like Thursday, Friday. I can kind of give an idea of how well it's going to do. But certainly, this is a massive, massive fight. And if it's not the number one biggest pay-per-view buy rate of all time in UFC history, it'll be in the top two or three, I would imagine.
There's a general rule of thumb here that if Conor McGregor is in the headline, that the data analytics are clear and people click on it and spend time on that page. Obviously, this is Ireland. Do those metrics extend to MMAfighting.com?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, there's no doubt. He's the biggest name. He's the biggest draw. He's the biggest star in the history of the sport. It's undisputed at this point. So yeah, when he's on the headline, when he's on the ticket, when he's on the billboard, people are gonna come and check it out.
Okay, so everybody in your office when he signed the 8-fight deal said, "Well, hey, our kids are going to college."
Well, I mean, the 8-fight deal, honestly, guys, it's to me, it's a little bit irrelevant because Conor McGregor signs a brand new deal every single fight. He signs a brand new deal every single fight because every single fight there's a new situation, there's a new provision, there's a new thing that he wants. Especially if Conor McGregor wins this fight against Nurmagomedov, they're going to tear up that 8-fight deal and he's going to get a new deal for the next fight.
Okay, fair point. It overrides all precedents. That's the general.
Those deals are very much fluid. They can be, the UFC can rip them up at any time.
Okay, fair enough. Do you think McGregor will fight 8 more times in his UFC career?
Probably not. Eight is a lot of fights. He's made a ton of money already. I think that he will certainly fight a few more times. I think that I would not be surprised if one or two of those fights are in boxing. Maybe a few of those fights are in the UFC. 8 seems like a whole lot. Mm. Eight fights from now, he'll have made a good amount of money. And it seems like he's doing a decent job of diversifying and investing in other businesses and trying to get some passive income and try to generate revenue that way. So 8 fights seems like a lot. It's very hard to say that he would go that far. That's years and years down the line.
Final question, Mark. Who's going to win?
That's a tough one. I don't usually like to give predictions until after I see the official weigh-ins, after I see how they look after the weight cut. So
that's going to be tougher on Habib than McGregor.
That will be tougher on Habib than McGregor. There's no doubt about it. Apparently, Habib is having a decent weight cut. But gun to my head on Tuesday in the States, I'm picking Nurmagomedov, but I could change my mind by Friday depending on how they look at weigh-ins and how bad the weight cut actually is on either one of them.
Okay. Listen, pleasure having you with us. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you, guys.
That's Mark Raimondi there, Deputy Managing Editor of MMA Fighting.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.